not too long before, it was last year's in Congress, there's no trust in the trust fund, and that's another thing you have to grapple with. I just might have one historical point. In 1935, when Congress was debating this, the Senate actually adopted an amendment by, I think it was Senator Champ Johnson, is that his name?
This is the Quality News Network. Jury selection begins early next week in the trial of alleged al-Qaeda operative Jose Padilla. A federal judge rejected his claims that he was tortured in U.S. military custody, ruling that the effort to dismiss the case was faulty on legal grounds. The House Judiciary Committee has subpoenaed new documents from Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez as part of its investigation into the firings of several federal prosecutors. President Bush said he would like to meet with congressional Democrats over funding the war with Iraq, but said any talk of a timetable for U.S. troop withdrawal would not happen. Democrats questioned the point of a meeting with Mr. Bush if he will not negotiate. Combined U.S. and Iraqi forces staged an early morning attack in downtown Baghdad in what is being called the heaviest fighting since a crackdown in security began in February. 6 people were killed, 21 wounded. Northeast of the city, at least 19 people were killed, 33 wounded when a female suicide bomber blew herself up at a police recruitment center today. A taxi parked next to Baghdad's university exploded this morning, killing 6 and wounding 11. Also in Iraq, 4 more U.S. troops were killed yesterday. A Marine died in the Anbar province. 3 American soldiers were killed in Baghdad by a roadside bomb. Another soldier was wounded. Gas price hikes could ease off in the coming weeks, according to the U.S. Energy Department. Experts say prices will most likely drop to levels comparative to last summer's heavy driving season. Envoys from the UN's nuclear watchdog agency arrived in Iran today to inspect the country's nuclear facilities. The visit follows Tehran's announcement yesterday it had begun industrial-scale nuclear fuel production. Israeli authorities have arrested 19 Palestinians on charges they had planned a massive car bomb explosion in Tel Aviv during Passover. Those arrested were all members of Hamas in the West Bank. In Mogadishu, leaders from Somalia's main clan say more than 1,000 people have been killed in recent clashes with insurgents. Another 4,000 have been wounded. In addition, the UN reports at least 124,000 residents have fled the city. In Sri Lanka, a passenger bus hit a beer truck head-on this morning, killing at least 17, injuring 24 more. Accident occurred 50 miles south of the city. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Attention business owners. Getting new customers is now just one click away. Sounds too good to be true, right? Well, you got us. It's actually two clicks away with the new MyLocalYP.com. MyLocalYP.com is more than an online yellow pages. It's an interactive gateway that connects customers with your business, all in just two clicks. Why continue to pay thousands of dollars on an antique advertising medium, especially one that ends up going into the recycling bin? Make the smart upgrade at only a fraction of the cost. Try for yourself. MyLocalYP.com. MyLocalYP.com will put your business in the radar of thousands of potential customers. They'll be able to make reservations online, even print out the map with directions, all in just two clicks. Call 1-800-505-1883 today to find out more about this great new service. The sooner you do, the faster your cash register will start to ring. The number again is 1-800-505-1883. MyLocalYP.com.
Agricultural experts are determining how many fruit crops were destroyed when a cold snap hit the southeast last weekend. Georgian officials say they are considering requesting federal aid. The Food and Drug Administration says new painkillers in the same class as Vioxx that may increase rates of heart attack and stroke should not be approved if safer alternatives exist. Vioxx was pulled from the market in 2004 after it was determined the drug posed a greater risk to patients than it provided. Advanced Micro Devices announced it'll institute a series of cost-cutting measures after posting quarterly revenues that disappointed Wall Street. Among its money-saving moves, the computer chipmaker will enact a partial hiring freeze. California's State Lands Commission has rejected a proposal from an Australian company to construct a liquefied natural gas terminal off the Southern California coast. Commissioners cited potential environmental damage for their decision. Fast food chains McDonald's, Pizza Hut, and KFC will permit their employees to unionize if they work in their Chinese outlets. Light sweet crude trading at $61.92 a barrel. That's up 41 cents at the close of Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average up 5 points at 12,573. The NASDAQ is up 8 points at 2477. And the S&P 500 up 4 points at 1448. There's always more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Great googly moogly, have we got a plate full tonight? This afternoon, whatever it is, tomorrow morning. We got a plate full, whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On for, at least where I am, Tuesday, late afternoon, early evening. It's about 6.5 minutes past the hour. And here's how it all works out. Somewhere around half past this hour, we're going to be hearing from our good friend Michael Stettler, otherwise known to many of you as Steady, to discuss the further things that he has witnessed as he has continued down along the American Gulf Coast. Then at about 5 minutes past the second hour of the program, we will hear from our good friend and Uber blogger, Brad Friedman, talking about election reform, electronic election voting machines, and what appears to be a pending or an argument toward a pending failure in terms of the legislation that is extant in Congress, namely the Rush-Holt bill, and some attacks that have been launched on Brad from odd to see this group launching attacks on somebody like Brad, who's worked so tirelessly to see that Americans' votes are counted, but people for the American way. Go figure. And then at 5 minutes past the third hour here on the East Coast, that would be 8:05. On the left coast, that would be, 5:05. We will be talking to Anthony Lowenstein. Now, Anthony is an Australian. Anthony is an author. And what Anthony has particularly authored is a book called My Israel Question. And he is touring the United States in support of the book for a brief time. Has graciously agreed to have a phone conversation with us so that you can hear a little bit more about the book and get an idea that support for the Israel can do anything it wants to position is something less than monolithic. So, like I said, we've got a plate full. Now, every now and then a story comes along that I don't want to let go of. I don't think should be let go of. In this particular instance, it's the Imus story. Sick of it yet? Yeah, so am I. You know what? I'm disgusted with the Imus story. I am just absolutely sick to putrescence with the Imus story. I'm disgusted, frankly, that I live in a country where the Imus story comes up. And while it really hangs in my throat to say something like this, the Imus story is almost enough to make one question the validity of the idea of free speech. Yee, see, I mean, that made little hair stand up on the back of my neck when I said that. How about you? But it does. Now, we had a great, great conversation last night with Media Matters for America senior advisor Dennis Yedwab about this very topic. And I think we treated it fairly exhaustively. But Imus... Yeah, I-Man. Hey, I-Man. How you doing? I-Man appeared on the Today Show this morning with haircut boy... Different haircut, different life support system, Matt Lauer. And in that context, this guy has a profound ability for putting six bullets in a gun playing Russian roulette and aiming them straight at his feet and just blowing them away. Didn't make things any better. And really, really sort of, and I've got audio from it, and I want you to hear it for yourself. And I wouldn't be playing this for you were it not for the fact that Imus did something. I mean, what he did further proved the lack of seriousness with which he is taking this incident. I think by the time you're listening, done listening to the sound bites, you'll realize that Imus, to this point, persists in being unable to comprehend that he's done anything wrong. You know, he's a victim of political correctness. And that's where and I've got a couple of clips from Reverend Al Sharpton. He was on today as well. And by the time you hear the last clip from Don Imus, there will be no doubt left in your mind that the man needs to take his millions and millions of dollars and go to his ranch in New Mexico or a methadone clinic or a crack house somewhere, or just a good corner tavern. And do his ranting and raving on a corner bar stool there. Because, for me, I mentioned it last night, and to my knowledge, I am the only person who has mentioned these two things. One, I would really, because she is such an absolute class act, I would like to hear the Tennessee head women's basketball coach Pat Summitt chime in on this. But two, and more importantly, I have yet to hear an interview with or see of or hear anyone make the same inquiry I have made. The parents of these women on this basketball team. These parents should be heard. Because, again, having three daughters myself and not doing nearly as good a job as a parent as I should, I am still I'm still moved by the fact that if a punk like Don Imus was to refer to my daughter on the air over 70 stations, over cable television, and into some of the largest markets in America, if Don Imus or any person like him was to refer to my daughter as a prostitute, it would be everything in my power to keep me from going and just making the world a better place. Hell, I got all up in high dudgeon because somebody called and was remotely rude to Agnes over the phone one evening. And, you know, I'm Mr. Kumbaya. Come on now, peace, we can work this out. Doesn't have to be this way. No. And that's why West Virginia, among other places, very few places, still maintain something called a fighting words statute. That there are some words that, when used, are the equivalent of being physical, of being the first physical blow in an argument. And frankly, calling a man or calling a parent's daughter a prostitute, which is what Don Imus did. Nappy-headed hoes is inexcusable. But of course, the other thing that presents itself is that this issue's already lost. This issue's already gone. This issue's already over because they've missed it. NBC's missed it. CBS has missed it. Most of America has missed it. I haven't missed it. Everything's about the nappy-headed hose comment, but apparently they stop the tape when a nappy-headed hose and stop, and oh my God! And they didn't get to the part where Sid Hoosey's face, the sports guy, goes on and refers to the entire basketball team as jigaboos. And, of course, apart from Media Matters for America and me and maybe a few others, nobody's pointed out the comments from March 6th in which they gleefully call Hillary Clinton a bitch, suggest that she will be putting her hair in cornrows, that she will have gold teeth, and be giving Crips gang signs. That's all by the boards, and that means that this debate is over, this discussion is over, because it has been narrowed to the point that that Imus will get away. Oh, well, I tell you what we need to do. We need to just go to the audio. Just one second. Okay, this is the first clip. And these are at some length because you won't be able to get this anywhere else. This is the first Imus cop out, and you'll notice that it's the same cop out that people like Rush use when they get caught. When he was caught telling a caller to call him back when he'd taken the bone out of his nose, or suggested that black students needed a class in robbing liquor stores. My friends, this is only comedy. I am not a political commentator. This is entertainment. Cut one.
It's a little bit of here we go again. This isn't the first time you've crossed the line. This isn't the first time that racially insensitive comments have been made by you or members of your staff. There was an incident with Gwen Ifill, a highly regarded African-American journalist who was referred to as a cleaning lady. We heard about the...
Well, you're not going to cite that, Mark, and not give me an opportunity to respond. I will give you an opportunity in a second,
but there have been other apologies in the past, and there have been pledges taken by you in the past to curb your behavior, and yet here we are, different year, same problem.
Okay. Try to hang the Gwen Ifill thing on me, which I discussed with Reverend Sharpton yesterday. That happened back during the Reagan administration, and this is a comedy show. I'm not a newsman. This is not Meet the Press. We don't, anything we say, it's not an excuse, but context is important. There's a difference between premeditated murder and the gun going off accidentally. I mean, somebody still gets shot, but the charges are dramatically different. I never said anything about Gwen Ifill. This was a comedy routine called where we make up the news, which we've been doing since 1968 on the radio.
But Don, I'm responsible for what happens on our program.
So am I.
All right. So you have to be responsible.
I am responsible for
what the content is.
Absolutely. But it was comedy. It wasn't a malicious rant. I wasn't angry. I wasn't drunk. I wasn't stating some sort of philosophy.
I wasn't angry. I wasn't drunk. I wasn't stating some sort of philosophy. No, you were just making fun of the funny little brown people, Don. No, don't go away from it, Agnes. We got more work to do. But you heard that. This is comedy. I'm doing a comedy show. So, you know, if you're doing a comedy show and you say jigaboos, or you call the junior senator from New York a bitch, it's okay. And just because now back out of that screen for a minute there, please, Agnes dear. Because you deserve to hear this again, that screen too, dear. I want you to, let's go back to the Hillary Clinton comment. Everybody's heard nappy-headed hoes. Everybody, well, at least you have heard the jigaboos. Hear this.
And they're trolling for votes on the bridge in Selma.
March 6, 2007.
Yeah, but this, but her affecting the southern accent, how does no one find that just,
it was
repulsive?
But it was bizarre.
She's really trying to sound black.
Pardon me?
She's trying to sound black.
I mean, it's just,
the bitch is going to be wearing cornrows before the...
I mean, you can't just, can't make it up, can you?
No.
She's trying to sound black in front of a black audience? As opposed to sounding southern, she was pandering.
I think
she'll have cornrows and gold teeth before this fight with Obama's over.
Oh my God! I mean,
she'll be giving Crip signs during speeches.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yes.
What do you have? Let me hear what you have.
I think it's the beginning of the first thing they have, but I can play it again.
I don't feel no ways tied.
Oh, listen, the white northerner is doing a so-called black accent.
Well, who's that woman who used to do, the poet?
Maya Angelou.
Yeah. We used to get in all the trouble for every time you do her.
That's right.
Poor mouse.
Whitey plucked you from the jungle for too many years. Took away your pride, your dignity, and your spears.
I don't need any more columns. Come on. But I mean, that's...
With freedom came new woes. Into Whitey's world you was rudely cast. So wake up now and go to work. You could kiss my big black ass.
Ain't that funny? That's just a real scream, isn't it? But the only thing Matt Lauer can do is go to the Gwen Ifill issue, at which point Don Imus says, oh, that was in the Reagan administration. In other words, Don Imus has been a filthy, racist, bigoted punk, and not funny, since the Reagan administration at the very least. And he has never cleaned up his act. But, oh, that's okay. Wait a minute. It goes on. This is, and like I said, he did more harm than good. Because next up is something I have heard all over. I've heard right-wingers say it. I've heard racists say it in the last few days. And that is, well, why should he get in trouble? They call each other hoes and bitches. Do it, Agnes.
Everybody can say that context is not important, but in every aspect of our lives, it is. And I want these young women to know that I didn't say this out of anger, and that I didn't say this out of meanness, and I didn't turn my microphone on and say, this is what I think of the young women of Rutgers. And believe me, I know that phrase didn't originate in the white community. That phrase originated in the black community.
Yeah!
I'm not stupid. I may be a white man, but I know that these young women and young black women all through that society are demeaned and disparaged and disrespected by their own black men, and that they are called that name. And I know that doesn't give me, obviously, any right to say it, but it doesn't give them any right to say it.
They said it first. See, I'm 6 years old. They said it first. I was just saying what they said. Lord. And then there's, like I said, this was just a train wreck watching it. When all of that failed, now bear in mind, Al Sharpton was on sort of split screen, and they had agreed that the two would not address each other. But when all of that failed, Imus resorted to calling Al Sharpton a coward.
I talked to Reverend Sharpton yesterday for 2 hours, Matt, and I told Phil Griffin and everybody else I didn't intend So I invited Reverend Sharpton to appear on my program, and he didn't have the courage that I had.
No,
because
I
walked
I would
on,
not,
I'm talking,
I'm
Reverend Sharpton. I walked in his studio yesterday, and there were hundreds of people there. And my
hundreds
hands
of
weren't
them.
Shaking. And
they
I didn't get
I'm
them
a
run
brave
out of the
man.
Studio every 5 minutes when the mics went off. I sat there, and I talked to Reverend Hargis like a man.
Reverend Hargis?
Reverend Sharpton like a man.
Yeah, okay.
And he did not keep his word. I asked him to appear on my program. He said he didn't want to appear at the scene of the crime. So I happen to like Reverend Sharpton, and that's not patronizing him. He knows that.
Some of my best friends
time.
Are black.
So, and I dealt fairly with him, and he tried to hang a couple things on me, and he knew that that wasn't going to fly. But I told everybody else that I had no intention of debating him on his program. If he didn't have the same kind of courage that I had, I walked in that studio by myself.
Yeah, because he was. I walked in that studio by myself. There was hundreds of people there, and they were all Negroes. And I wasn't afraid because some of my best friends are black. Oh my God! Oh my God! And he didn't have the guts to walk into my studio. Well, you know, Al Sharpton had an answer for that. Al Sharpton made it clear that he could not validate Imus's program by appearing on it when he was calling for him to be fired. And see, there's that's called not being a hypocrite. And let's go to what Reverend Sharpton had to say, because he made some strong points, some of which we hit on this program last night and Friday night.
I think it is not nearly enough. I think it's a little too little too late. I think the fact of the matter is that the gravity of this kind of use of the airwaves must be stopped. You're talking about a show that leading political figures, presidential candidates, news anchors go on. These young women have excelled academically. They're at Rutgers University, being called nappy head hoes. What precedent are we setting now? That you can apologize every 10 years when you go over the line and maybe you'll get a 2-week suspension? I think that this is something that is unhealthy for everyone in America, and he should be fired.
He has stepped up, and he has taken responsibility. He has apologized.
He did appear
on your radio show, and I have to say, sustained a rather withering assault from you for a couple of hours yesterday. Does that not account for anything?
Is the precedent now that if you use the airwaves to tout racism, that you make an apology, go take a withering interview, get reprimanded by your colleagues, and then business as usual? Or are we saying that in this country we will not tolerate the airwaves being used for racism and sexism?
Now, I want to get something straight here. There are some people out there talking about how the FCC should be involved with this. And even Al Sharpton made a reference to it, saying, you know, the public trust and the public airwaves. I don't agree with that. Because Don Imus has an absolute right to be an ass. The question, however, is whether the American people are willing to pay for Don Imus to be an ass. But of course, but again, this doesn't exist in a vacuum. You know, we go back to June of 2006, was it? When that filthy, nasty, vile little ugly bigoted racist from Atlanta, Neil Bortz, was calling a congresswoman, mind you, Cynthia McKinney, a ghetto slut. Now, see, one of the things that I'm proud of here, and I guess it's kind of a funny thing to be proud of, but one of the things that I'm proud of here is my ability to eviscerate, my ability to flay the skin off of someone to whom I am opposed without having to refer to the color of their skin or racial characteristics, because that shows that you got nowhere to go. Neil Bortz, on the other hand, he can't say that Cynthia McKinney is somehow an incompetent legislator. He can't point to the fact of he has to call her a ghetto slut. On the other hand, if you hear somebody criticized on this program, I'll lay it out for you why I'm doing it. By either audio or quotes on paper, I will point out to you why I'm criticizing them and what I'm criticizing them for and why they deserve the criticism. Big difference. And it's called having the brains to do the job. Bortz is an idiot. Imus is an idiot. Imus is, well, you heard the, I've been on the air for 30 years. 30 years he has been making a career out of being an ass. 30 years he has made a career out of dumbing down the public discourse. Now, the other thing that Reverend Sharpton points out is that this is, in fact, a marketplace issue.
You said something yesterday after his appearance. You said in an interview I saw a portion of that you think he may have actually made matters worse. What did you mean by that?
I think when it seems that he keeps trying to make this personal about Don Imus. This is not about Don Imus. This is about the use of public airways. This is about the use of advertising dollars.
There.
This is about how people should not be attacked by their gender or their race.
Well, the public airways and advertising dollars, I think Don referenced this, and in some ways NBC and CBS have left this up to the marketplace. They're saying to the listeners, we're going to put them back on the air after 2 weeks, and you decide. And if you don't want to listen to Don Imus, then you can turn away, and the ratings will indicate that. And to the advertisers, if you don't want to support his program, you can turn away, and then there will be a problem. Why shouldn't it be left to the marketplace?
Well, maybe the marketplace is expressing itself when you see the outrage all over the country. Maybe the advertisers will hear from us immediately saying, if you want to continue investing in those programs, we will not buy your product. I think the marketplace is what has raised this issue. As you said to Don Imus, he did not come back immediately the next morning and deal with this issue. The marketplace made him respond. When I and National Action Network and the National Association of Black Journalists and others came out, that's when you started getting reaction. This reaction didn't come from these stations because they had a come to Jesus meeting in the boardroom.
In the boardroom. See, yeah, that's it. Because remember, there was a time lag on this. In fact, the first comments that Imus made were to the New York Times saying that, oh, you're blowing it all out of proportion. No. No. Not at all. So, you know, it seems more than apparent to me that in the 2 weeks that he's off the air, people who don't want this kind of stuff need to make it clear to the advertisers, because the advertisers will go right back. Because, you see, let me explain something to you about the nature of this business. If I go out and I want commercial advertising, and I go to a media buyer, and I say, listen, reaching 5 million people a week. They'll go, you're reaching 5 million people a week? We need to advertise on your show. They won't ask what kind of show I've got. They don't care what kind of show I've got. They know that there are 5 million people who are joining up to talk, to listen to what we're talking about, or playing music, or whatever. For the marketing people, this is nothing, and I do mean nothing, but dollars and cents issues. What's that? You got a hunting show, Bob, and you're reaching 5 million people? Well, just a minute, because as a media buyer, you know, I represent the people who make shotgun shells. And they'll want to reach those 5 million people. What? It's a computer show, Bob? Let me get on the line to Dell. I know they'll want to reach those 5 million people. Now, at the end of the day, the question that has to be asked about the people who advertise on something like Imus is, you know, I just said shotgun shells and the computers. What's that? What's that? You're reaching 5 million people. You're reaching 5 million racist, bigoted, dumbed down, small minded jerks a week, Imus. Well, let's see. I got a whole list of advertisers here who have begged to be advertised to the marketplace of dumbed down, stupid, bigoted, racist jerks. Because if you listen to Imus, you approve of Imus. If you spend any time on that channel with him, you approve of the use of words like nappy-headed hoes, jigaboos. You approve, tacitly approve, of calling Senator Hillary Clinton a bitch, of doing the verbal equivalent of blackface. Took away our dignity and our spears. You approve of that. Does GM advertise on Imus? I don't know. Who advertises on Imus? See, I'm just dumb on this because I don't watch the thing. I've got a more keenly honed sense of comedy than that man ever did, before or after he was all whacked out of his mind on booze and drugs. But this is the right wing. This, by God, is what they're about. Now, I've already referenced three right-wing talkers. Imus, Limbaugh, and Neil Bortz. Neil Bortz, ghetto slut, in reference to a black woman. Flush Flimball, call me back when you get the bone out of your nose. Don Imus, nappy-headed hose. But the thing is, again, with Don Imus, it goes so much further than that. Go to Media Matters for America. There's a whole list. March 16th, 2007, executive producer Bernard McGurk, performing his character Cardinal Egan, said that the whole nation is talking about reports of a young colored fella pretty much decking the old bag from New York and taking away some of her money. I'm speaking, of course, about Senator Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. March 27th, 2007, Imus in the Morning. Former Imus sports announcer Sid Rosenberg appeared on the program and referenced a story in the New York Daily News headlined Serena Shocked by Racist Heckler. Rosenberg commented, I was on an airplane, suggesting he could not have been the one heckling professional tennis player Serena Williams, that he was not the racist in question. But again, we're talking about the nappy-headed hose comment, and we're not talking about something that was a thousand times filthier, and that was the, March 7th edition of the program with calling Senator Hillary Clinton a bitch. And frankly, there's Reverend Al Sharpton saying, well, you can't criticize someone because of their gender or because of their race. Somebody needs to get Reverend Sharpton up to speed on March the 6th. The references to March the 6th, do you remember why Senators Clinton and Obama were in Selma, Alabama? They were commemorating that march. Violent and bloody that it was. And the best that these low-talent, low-brow, low-class jerks can do is get on the air and suggest that it's all about blackness. You heard it. I played it for you. She's trying to sound... Yes, okay, watch this. Watch me step in it. You heard some damn Yankee say, she's trying to sound black, as opposed to sounding Southern. Like some Yankee from the Upper West Side knows the difference between a Southern accent and a black accent. You know what? I've got friends in Alabama that if you didn't know their skin color and they called you on the phone, you wouldn't know if they were black or white. They sound Southern. You say hello to them, and it takes 15 minutes for them to say hello, how you doing, back. You doing okay? Well, I reckon I'm doing all right. Been kind of poorly lately. Crops is withering in the field for want of water. But I got up this morning, and I reckon I'm going to be okay. You doing okay? Agnes is having a fit over here. But you get the point. No, do not put the pencil up your nose and scramble your own brains, Agnes. Okay, and finally, I got a golfing buddy, and every now and then he'll step up to the tee, and he'll whack his drive into the woods. He'll come out of the woods, cross the fairway into the woods on the other side, and wind up, you know, laying double bogey for his first putt and sink a 40-footer, and look up and say, well, that was just whipped cream on poop. Here's Don Imus with cut 4, the whipped cream on poop.
I am a good and decent person, and I've been conducting a comedy show for 30 years. I can come back and hopefully serve this suspension with dignity, and come back and create a dialogue. One of the things that we're going to do that we've been talking about
quickly
for years.
Quickly, if you can, Don, I'm running out of time.
There ought to be a black person on this show every single day to add some perspective, and we ought to have more black guests, and me and the rest of white America ought to understand what's going on in the black community, and I'll make an effort to do that.
Yeah, because, Don, your hateful, bigoted racism is America's problem and not your problem. Now, dig it. There had to be an absolute firestorm over his use of the term nappy-headed hoes before Don Imus recognized that it might not be a bad idea to have someone with the same skin color as a great proportion of the rest of America on his program once in a while. I need to learn that, and America needs to learn that. Well, you know what? It's not America. Well, yeah, it is. It is America's problem. But you don't get off that easy, I-man. You don't get to palm it off on the rest of us when it wasn't us who said nappy-headed hoes and jigaboos, and she's going to have cornrows and gold teeth and be given Crip signs. Your audience didn't do that, I-man. You did, you freak. God, this is a frustrating country sometimes. But again, it's been missed. Yeah, he said then, I made the Gwen Ifill comment was made as part of a comedy sketch. This is not a news program. Then why the hell is Senator McCain on your program? Why is Dick Gregory on your program? Why is Chris Matthews on your program? Why is Senator Lieberman on your program, I-man? For the same reason that the advertising buyers line up to, they think that your program is viewed. They don't care what goes on. It is up to you, the consumer, to tell them that you care about the content. Because Imus will be back. Imus will be on the air. Imus will be doing his same filthy shtick and will be talking about this same damn thing a month from now if the American people don't speak up. Or am I just crazy? So that's where we begin tonight. Now, again, coming up in just a few minutes, a conversation with our good buddy Steady. At the top of the hour, a conversation with our good friend Brad Friedman of bradblog.com fame. And at 5 minutes past the third hour, Anthony Lowenstein, My Israel Question. You can go to myisraelquestion.com and... learn a little bit about it, or AnthonyLowenstein.com. That's LOEWENSTEIN.com. You're listening to America's liberal voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Together, darling. Join the human race.
the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network. There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Claude, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop. Right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball. While gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
Hardworking people, let's drink to the lonely of earth. Raise your glass to the good and the evil. Let's drink to the salt of the earth.
Well, just a quick update before we go to the phones. The Volunteer Nation has chimed in. I've heard from both our buddy Luke in Knoxville and our buddy David in Middle Tennessee that, in fact, after, well, not that there's any causal link, but I suggested last night it might be nice for Pat Summitt to say something, and then today she did. And she highly praised the coach at Rutgers, the women's basketball coach, the women's basketball team, praised their accomplishment. and left the spotlight on Rutgers for them to address it as they feel is necessary. Next up, stepping beyond the racial issue, I don't mean next up like that's what we're going to do right now, but stepping beyond the racial issue and frankly beyond the gender issue. Because you know what, you ever hear rundowns of college football, men's college football, like there's women's? Well, you know, he's not much of a quarterback. He's kind of a dud. You know, he sucks. What a bunch of brutes we are. Let's go talk to our good friend Steady, calling from Southern Mississippi. Hey, Steady, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob. How you doing this evening?
I'm well, thank you.
I don't have any access right now, or at least at this moment, so I was appreciating being on hold and listening to the IMA comments on the, you know, that he made about the Rutgers basketball, women's basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
I got some of that on the news. Also, just kind of transitioning into sports, you had the Grambling coach, Eddie Robinson, and many professional football players came and paid their respects. I think he had 200 players that were made it to the NFL under his leadership. And I heard a lot of that on the news last night.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a couple of fronts. Having been in the lower ninth ward, I did talk to you on Friday, and I actually got down to the lower ninth ward, and I have to tell you, that place it's gone. It's wasted. It's really bad. But having been in Louisiana down there in New Orleans for the short period of time I was in, I did get to help someone bring in their electrical work. They were also in the lower ninth ward, and there's a lot of good spirited volunteer work going on down here, but I think the problem is getting the skilled labor on the sites. I'm kind of transitioning right into this stuff. I know time is short, and I have a lot to cover. It was a really big day for me. I left New Orleans this morning, and I came to Pascagoula. I checked up on the 100 Homes and 100 Days project after I was at Northrop Grumman and did my physical. I'm still waiting to get results back on the background check for the Department of Justice and all the stuff that gives you clearance to work on U.S. naval warships.
Right.
And the headlines in the Mississippi Press were one in 100 homes, and they showed the big backhoe crushing a home with the homeowner looking a little concerned. And they ended the article with a quote from the homeowner saying, "I'll believe they'll finish in 63 days when I have the keys in my hand. And when they give her the keys, they'll also give her a mortgage note." And I think this thing was promoted on the guise of charity. But it's really become what I have.
Now, why are you saying she's going to have a mortgage, Steady?
Well, because what's happening here is that the complete rebuilds, and I'll be as brief as I can, the complete rebuilds are going to be financed. The homeowners will be given a mortgage, and the charity dollars that have been donated by the Red Cross and the Salvation Army and also Northrop Grumman, and the amount of $2.7 million for this 100 homes in 100 days, is going to be spent by buying the mortgage down to the level which the homeowners can afford to make a monthly payment.
Buying it down to where, among other things, you're dealing with materials costs.
Yes, and what we're getting here is the spirited volunteer work of people from all over the nation are descending on the Gulf states to help rebuild, and I'm not discounting that effort. We need the skilled labor to show up and donate some of their time. As I sit out in front of IBEW Local 733, they're kind of getting the commentary that I'm giving and reporting to them. I'm seeing some work that should, let's just say, leaves a lot to be desired.
Now, you're not faulting people for doing it. You're saying that it needs to be more in the skilled line of things.
Correct. And what we got here is kind of, skilled labor isn't going to donate their time, especially union labor, to non-union contractors who are actually getting paid. That's not going to happen. And I think they're trying to ramrod this thing. And we'll just have, this is an ongoing situation with the 100 homes in 100 days. But again, Mississippi Press gives us the headlines that they've got one home of the 100. And the picture is clear that they're in the process of demolishing a home that was standing. And compared to what was in the lower ninth ward, I think that home that did get demolished and the homeowners was concerned if they can finish it in 63 days.
And there are, I mean, let's make no mistakes. Let's not mince any words, Steady. There are homes that cannot be repaired. There are homes that must be demolished. They're total losses.
That's true. If you look at the exterior of this home that got demolished, it's on the front page of the Mississippi Press. Unfortunately, what I found is that you can't see the pictures on the internet. But I do have them, and they'll get scanned, and I'll put them up on the DFA meetup site as soon as I can. They're trying to sell the complete rebuilds in order to get the mortgages, sir. I sense a little bit of resistance on this, but I am telling you, there's something wrong here. But I'm not. I don't want to highlight that. And I just want to say, from a skilled trade, the thing is completely mismanaged. And it's I'm not going to talk about the funds because I don't see the numbers. But I know what it takes to do the numbers, and the volunteers cannot provide that type of skill. So the skill sets that are available are being used as cheap labor, free labor, and they're hoping to pass this off on the homeowners, who then are going to be given a mortgage. That is the case here. In regards to 100 homes in 100 days, I'm not associating that, although it is a conglomerate of charity groups working together. Hope has a face.
Well, you know, Agnes, pull some off of my mic, please. This is so hot. Well, okay, here, let me help with that then. Let me just throw a little anecdote your way,
okay.
Steady.
Sure. I need them.
My father... You know, we talk about Dad from time to time, and I miss him horribly. My father had a little bit of a bad taste in his mouth about the Red Cross that went all the way back to the Second World War. Because he came across some sailors who had been shipwrecked. And they were in prison camp or some dire situation. The Red Cross came in and gave them a razor. Gave them razor blades, gave them toothbrush, gave them toothpaste, gave them a few other bare necessities for the cost of their, you know, for their meagerest existence. Okay. And when these guys got back on their feet, they got a bill from the Red Cross. I kid you not.
Okay.
There's nothing new in this. From my standpoint, never having been in a disaster of this nature, I don't know exactly how it works. The greatest question I have, and it was brought up to me in an email some weeks back, and so, by someone who pointed out the nobility of the effort to raise all of this money. But said, you know, they can't help coming back again and again and again to the fact that we have been sort of cornered into a position of agreeing with the Bush administration and the Republicans that FEMA can't get it done, and therefore it's up to us to do it, therefore validating the Republican position that government can't do anything right. Government can't do anything right because these people can't do anything right. The FEMA money should be there. It's not just about a trailer. It is about money, American tax dollars being used to get people who are not at fault for their own misfortune back on their feet. That's what America should be about. And so as a consequence, it's not surprising to see that there are misgivings or mistakes. There are people along the way in this situation, Steady, who are literally having to reinvent the wheel. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
And so, you know, I'm awfully proud of the people like you who have gone and given of their time, given of their efforts, given of their energies. And I'm proud of people who have tried to raise the money and been out there and gone at it hammer and tongs trying to make this happen. Now, on the other side of it, the sad fact is people will all the moneyed class will always try to get in and make a buck off of it.
I agree with that.
You know, you talk about a mortgage. I'd like to have more details. I'd like to know who pays the interest or whether it's principal only, what kind of guarantees there are on it. Is this just sort of some sort of naked subprime mortgage? And that's the information we frankly don't have.
Well, I'm sure that information will be available if you have to, even with, you know, exercise the Freedom of Information Act to get it. This is public money, and maybe, I mean, excuse me, this is private money that came in from Red Cross, Salvation Army. But it's under a charitable program here with major Mississippi politics attached to it in the efforts to help the community. But if everybody listening would just consider holding on to $2.7 million, and you mentioned interest, for 100 days, hell, they can build three or four homes with the interest they're going to make in holding on to that. And then you tack on to the invisible interest when they...
Oh, man.
Man, that's some... Ooh. And the girls from Tennessee, they all look cute, you know.
Does this guy think about anything but race and sex? Remind me again why this guy is a millionaire. I'm not trying to toot my own trumpet, but I could go on the air in New York tomorrow and do that. You know, our job here at the Horn is to try to sound remotely intelligent and engaging, and to engage you in conversation. Now, I'm not a New Yorker. Maybe a New Yorker can call and straighten me out. But what I'm trying to figure out here is, what is it about Imus, or for that matter, what is it about New York that approves of that garbage? And the Tennessee girls, they were all cute. What in the...
Also, like, kind of like a, I don't know.
Spike Lee thing.
Yeah.
The
yeah,
Jingabos versus the Wannabes, that movie that he had.
Yeah, it was a tough...
Jiminy Christmas. Why? I ask you, why is this man on the air? Because, see, this isn't all there is to it. Oh, no. This was just Thursday evening. Oh, well, you know, Bob, it was an isolated incident. He just screwed up. You know, he sits there and he has to talk about things and he has to try to make it interesting. And, well, I mean, you know, so he said, you know, it just came out of his mouth and he said, you know, nappy-headed hoes. No, see, Sunshine, it doesn't work that way, because after this freak said this stuff, in the newspaper there in the Big Apple, city that never sleeps, he said the following. He declared to the newspaper, the New York Times, he said people should relax and not worry about, quote, some idiot comment meant to be amusing. This is the 21st century. Nappy-headed hoes is not funny. Or at least anybody to whom nappy-headed hoes is funny has got to be an extremely narrow... low IQ'd minority, and I don't mean by minority, I don't mean skin color. I mean, there can't be that many people in America who think referring to a women's basketball team as nappy-headed hoes and jigaboos. You know, this is one of those Southern moments for me. This is one of those moments where, you know, growing up in the South and dealing with the inherent racism that's down there, and yet, can you imagine, for a moment, just one moment, what would happen to a talker on the radio in, say, Birmingham, Memphis, Nashville, Atlanta, who referred to a women's basketball team as nappy-headed hoes. And yet, this guy's still got a job. Ah, oh, that's the I-Man. The I-Man's a funny dude. Ha ha! Disgusting. But, you know, what I hope partially you tune into this program for is the fact that we can tie things together. And we can. And there's a couple of folks on hold. I hope you will stay there for a minute, because I've got to finish this. Because what I want to prove to you is this is not an accident. This is these remarks by Don Imus are not in a vacuum. They weren't, as he described it, some idiot comment meant to be amusing. this is part of what you might call a pattern and practice. Let me take you back exactly, I think, almost exactly, a month. Do you remember when Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton went to Selma last month? And they both delivered speeches, one at one church, the other at the other church. Well, come Monday on the Imus show, never mind what else was going on in the world, come Monday on the Imus show, they had to talk about Hillary. And this is what they said.
And they're trolling for votes on the bridge in Selma.
Yeah,
but this... But her affecting the southern accent, I mean, how does no one find that just...
It was
repulsive.
But it was bizarre.
She's really trying to sound black.
Pardon me?
She's trying to sound black.
I mean, it's just...
The bitch is going to be wearing cornrows before the...
I mean, you can't just can't make it up, can you?
No.
Hang on. Let's just back that up a little bit. What did he say about Hillary Clinton?
She's really trying to sound black.
Pardon me?
She's trying to sound black.
I mean, it's just...
The bitch is going to be wearing cornrows before the...
I mean, you can't...
Bitch is going to be wearing cornrows before long. These people are millionaires. Do you have any idea how much it costs to run a 60-second spot on the Imus program in the New York City market? Any idea? What do they sell? What are the ads that run on Imus? Come on, somebody in the New York market help me with this, okay? Soap? Gasoline? Automobiles? What do they advertise on Imus? It can't all be... This is over the air in New York Morning Drive. It's not like Flush Flemball, where it's all Swedish mattresses and patent erection medicines. And every time you go and buy one of whatever it is they're advertising on Imus's program, you are responsible for things like...
I mean, it's just...
The bitch is going to be wearing cornrows before the...
I mean, you can't make it up, can you?
No.
You're paying for that. Can somebody get a list of who advertises on the Imus program? I don't have any advertisers, so I really don't have to worry. I'm broke, and I know it, and we get along as best we can. Bitch is going to be wearing cornrows? Holy crap! But that's not all there is to it.
She's trying to sound black in front of a black audience? As opposed to sounding southern? She was pandering.
You think?
She'll have cornrows and gold teeth before this fight with Obama's over.
Now we're up to gold teeth. She'll have cornrows and gold teeth before this fight with Obama is over. This fight, mind you. These freaks can't do anything without thinking about bloodshed or violence. Oh, laugh, I-Man, laugh! Oh, what a laugh that was, too. Nothing wrong with what your freaks are saying, is there, Imus?
Oh, my God, I mean,
You know, I don't feel so bad about the pauses I take anymore.
I mean, Crip signs. She'll be giving Crip signs during speeches.
She'll be giving Crip signs during speeches. And people are just upset about the Rutgers women's basketball team being called nappy-headed hoes. I got a news flash for you. When the mic ain't on, Imus doesn't say nappy-headed. He says another word. Okay.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yes.
What do you have? Let me hear what you have.
I think it's the beginning of the first thing they have, but I can play it again.
I don't feel...
Okay, now this guy is Bernie McGurk, the producer.
No ways tied.
Now
it sounded like she was...
Now wait, now he's doing a so-called black voice, but it's okay. Meanwhile, if Hillary Clinton even vaguely harkens back to her years upon years upon years upon years in Arkansas, and a little bit of beans and cornbread slips into her voice, she's pandering and trying to sound black.
Well, it sounded like she was...
It's the role from Good Times.
Well, who's that woman who used to do the poet?
Maya Angelou.
Yeah. She's getting all in trouble for every time you do her.
That's right. Whitey plucked you from the jungle for too many years. Took away your pride, your dignity, and your spears.
I went to the spear chucker line. Huh? Boy, they sure are original there at the IMUS program, ain't they?
Well, I don't need any more columns. Come on. But I mean, that's...
With freedom came new woes. Into Whitey's world, you was rudely cast. So wake up now and go to work. You could kiss my big black ass.
Oh, ha. You know, they're on MSNBC. I bet they could probably work in blackface. Do you see how pervasive this garbage is? This filth, this racist, disgusting... what was it, last week we were talking about MC... No, maybe it was early this week. It all runs together for me. We were talking about MC Rove and how they were hooting and hollering on stage and making fun of a black African-American musical style. You know, I'm old enough that I do remember, this is before my time, but I do remember that the late, great Sam Phillips made his career recording what was called the race music and teaching little white boys like Elvis Presley, Carl Perkins, Jerry Lee Lewis to sound a little less white than they might otherwise sound. And that terrified the mamas and the daddies. They're going to get our daughters. Is this 2007 or is this 1947? I don't know. Let's go to the phones. Who have I got?
Gonzo, greetings there, Mr. Kincaid. How are you?
Wow, Spike, Gonzo, greetings to you. How are you?
Oh, exhausted and still got a ways to go yet.
And miles to go before I sleep, like Robert Frost said.
Yeah. Hey, I love that you played all this, all the Simon stuff, because, for years upon years, I've been a listener of the Stern Show, and Stern at one time did a show with him. And for about 20 years now, Stern has talked about, behind the scenes, he calls every black person the N-word. He used to refer to Stern as the K-word for Jews.
The one that rhymes with bike?
Yeah, and he would call Stern into his face at times, because at the time, Howard Stern wasn't quite Howard Stern, so Imus was the big man on the show. And kind of funny, now everyone around the world knows who Stern is, and then they suburban idiots who, on their morning drive...
Well, who in God's name... I mean, you're a little closer to New York City than I am, Spike.
I get that radio station. That's WFAN. They do sports all day except for that show.
Who in God's name finds that funny?
You know, when I used to work at Tiffany's, they'd be these white-collar guys, and, like, if they'd be sitting up in a conference room before a meeting a lot, they'd put on MSNBC to watch it. This is a lot of your cubicle idiots in suburban New Jersey, Connecticut, Long Island. I mean, granted, he's bigger now ratings-wise in because in reality, there's no Stern to compete with in the ratings race because he's on satellite. So Imus is numbers, now it sounds like he's a bigger hit than ever. In reality, it's just that the big dog left the neighborhood, so, you know, all the little ones are suddenly pumped up.
And yapping louder.
And yapping louder, yeah. And keep in mind, MSNBC, this is also the network that gave a Mr. Michael Weiner a TV show at one time.
Well, you are correct.
And best of all, Weiner was just as egregious, but he got a little more attention than what he, because I guess it was directed at a caller instead of hypothetically. And let me tell you something. That producer for IMS is a real, you know what?
McGurk? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he, if you ever see him, this is, you think you'd seen a near-death experience, these two. I mean,
No, he's a skinhead, isn't he?
Well, the producer looks like a really bad Jerry Stiller character, and IMS, I mean, he just looks like a prune with a cowboy hat. You know, and
oh, I know. He's sitting there with this $3,000 cowboy hat on, and his collar pulled up like he's the Fonz.
And keep in mind, he always, and people always carry on about the Imus Ranch, and Stern always would carry on about how the Imus Ranch is a sham, and basically, more or less, called it out as he's having sick kids work on his vacation home. That's the Imus Ranch. It's kind of almost like a Holocaust enslavement. Yeah, so that's the Don Imus for you, and God only knows I don't.
But he is getting the ratings.
Well, like I said, he's going to be higher up on the charts because, like I said, the biggest show ever in New York, Morning Drive, is gone.
But don't people in that market understand that he is that by him having those kind of numbers that he is a reflection of them, Spike?
Oh yeah, well, New York is a highly racist area. Heck,
I mean, honest to God, would do you think that some up and comer in a little market like Mobile, Alabama, could get away with calling the Rutgers women's basketball team nappy headed hoes?
Oh no, of course, because then people would say, well, you know, those Southerners are racist. When meanwhile, New Yorkers and people in Philly and, you know, and the Northeast is highly racist. You kidding me? I mean, it's much more latent maybe up here, and that's what makes it even more dangerous. But yeah, well, you know, that's Imus in the morning. And like I said, the rest of the day, it's all sports on that channel, on that WFAN. That's what I really don't get is why they even have him. I mean, it would make more sense for WABC or one of those.
Oh, God, if you're a sports channel, you know, I guess it's a different operation. But, you know, Mike and Mike in the morning, whatever.
Yeah, well, this station has Mike and the Mad Dog later in the day, which is it's on the Yankees network. And that show is nothing like the Imus show. It's a sports show. They don't make that. That isn't their kind of shtick, you know. But for some reason, in the morning, I guess all the racists get up early in the morning in the New York market.
Got to get up early in the morning to meet the racist market. Oh my God!
You know, like I said, the rest of the day. I mean, if any of the other shows that the rest of the day they'd be in trouble. Imus gets a free pass because he's Don Imus, and it does mystify me. I mean, I don't understand why he's so big because he's not even he's not even funny.
Well, see, he got around it. Now, I mean, I've got you sitting here, and I'm not gonna. You know, you got all the time to talk in the world, you know that. So I want you to hear this. You know, he got, maybe you've already heard it, but he got around to apologizing, and this is what passes for an apology with Don Imus.
I want to take a moment to apologize for an insensitive and ill-conceived remark we made the other morning, referring to the Rutgers women's basketball team. It was completely inappropriate, and we can understand why people were offended. Our characterization was thoughtless and stupid. So, and we're sorry.
Spike, let's be honest, buddy. That so-called apology does not get made unless somebody typed it up, walked it in, handed it to him, and said, if you don't read it, you're living on your damn ranch.
Yeah, well, I was just about to say that definitely came from the PR department and not the heart of Don Imus. Cause it
now, we can understand why you were offended.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, how condescending can you get?
Too bad there wasn't a note. You know, he might say, oh, we apologize, turn page. Oh, that's just me being a humorous eye man. That wasn't really on purpose.
We'll try to offend another ethnic group next time.
Clearly,
I misunderestimated the sensitivity of the black community. Hey, I do a pretty good Imus, don't I?
Yeah, all you have to do is mumble. That's all he does. He mumbles. Another mystery, how he's still big in radio. He mumbles. He doesn't talk clearly. Jeez. Yeah. I know enough about New York radio to know how just... In reality, he is irrelevant. I mean, he's still not number one in New York either. Those two idiots who do a radio show, because I don't...
Linus and Charlie or whatever,
Opie and Anthony.
Yeah, Opie and Anthony. Linus and Charlie,
A career based on an imitation of the Stern Show, even better,
Yeah. Well...
Imitation is
the most well-paying form of flattery.
Yeah. But I gotta laugh because Ima says isn't as shocking as sexual innuendo or anything.
Well, yeah, that's true because if he had said caca on the air, maybe he would we're talking about the real word. Maybe he would have been fired.
Yeah.
Because see, that could cause him. Thanks to, let's remember, Spike, thanks to the sanctimonious, holier-than-thou, morally bankrupt, ethically dead, Republican Congress that is gone, dead and buried now, thank God, if the I-Man had only said that word, or maybe the coitus word that begins with F, we might not have to put up with Imus anymore.
Maybe we can find out he's doing steroids on his show, and they'll go after him as well.
But, if you're just having some good, innocent fun at the expense of people who were not responsible for the skin color they were born with, what the hell? Just pass down a little apology from the PR department and everything's hunky-dory.
Well, that's AM radio for you. I mean, it's also the home of Michael Savage, I apologize, Michael Weiner. Can't believe I
the Savage Wiener. I mean, that's what...
Well, he's a whiner, too. He whines all the time. So it could go either way. He's a wiener, he's a whiner. He's a you-know-what bag is what he really is. I can't believe stations still carry that show.
I think
people listening to see what crazy thing he says next and even followers.
Spike, that's the thing that makes my head just spin around like I'm auditioning for The Exorcist. It's not like these guys are getting 30 grand a year, okay? I mean, 30 grand, 40 grand, 50 grand, I can understand paying for this, because 50 grand in New York City means you're probably living in a crack house. but we're talking about millionaires here.
And multimillionaires.
And again, these guys don't happen in a vacuum. There are PR people, there are marketing people who are out there beating down the doors and talking to some. I mean, who advertises there? I mean, you get the station. Who advertises on it?
I don't even tune in the morning to find out who advertises. I suspect it's actually a lot of the same people who advertise the rest of the day on FAN. So it's
So what is that? Local car dealerships and
Local car dealerships. Sports related stuff. It's probably a real meat and potatoes, jock kind of marketing going on there. Maybe a little more white collar for him in the morning though. But I mean, still overall, it's WFAN. It's this stuff basically they have the rest. I don't think he has any Swiss gold or. I do love what you said, Rush Limbaugh's advertisement.
Swedish mattresses and patent erection medications.
All he needs is maybe the masseuse for the happy endings in his advertising block there, but that's a whole nother can of worms.
They monitor this program. You're just giving them an idea, and you're not even going to get to bill them for it.
Well, that's okay. Who knows? Maybe she'll scratch him or something. But, best of all, actually, all this Ironman talk, and... I'd actually called to talk a little bit about unions in this country.
Oh, well, you're welcome to do that, too.
And it seems like there's a little more interest, probably because of just how ridiculously bad the job market's becoming.
The Bush administration has driven working people into the arms of the unions, and for good reason.
Yeah, and many unions need to... opportunize on it, and also,
did you hear that story in the top of the hour news? Maybe it was the first hour. The steel workers are contemplating a merger with a union in Britain that would make them the largest in the world.
I haven't even heard too much about that. I'm only picking up on that just tonight a little bit. I know my main employer recently got in a little bit of trouble over organized labor issues.
How so?
Well, it would be the Starbucks company, who's been kind of trying to fight the IWW from organizing their shops. And,
Industrial Workers of the World.
Yeah, the IWW, a union that was at one time considered irrelevant and gone, actually just won a court case against Starbucks. Basically, they proved that there were over 30 counts of union busting. And, you know, it's kind of interesting in a way after working for this company now. You know, it's more of a marketing tool about how progressive it really is.
Sure.
And in reality, once you work for them, you realize they're...
So are you a barista?
Yeah, I am.
Or a baristo?
A barista, yeah. And, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love coffee. I have an espresso maker at home. I mean...
Oh, God, I don't want to see you at the end of the day. So, hey, everybody, I'm home from work.
You know what I usually...
Time for coffee.
I usually load up early in the day, and it carries me through the whole day. When I went to New York last week, I got a big thing of coffee and drank like 10 cups that were about 8 ounces, so about 80 ounces of coffee, and then went off to an arena football game.
Gonzo Spike.
And
man of the tortured kidneys.
Until about midnight.
Oh, I can't. Arena football on a really ugly caffeine buzz. I don't want to think about it.
I was in the second row. I even got hey, best of all, I got a touchdown football player for my team. I made a sign up the night before. I wasn't feeling good, so when we stayed at the motel room, I spent most of the night in the motel room. So I made up a sign for this guy. He's leading the AFL in interceptions. I held the sign before the game. He looked at it, and I kept telling him in the warm up since I was in the second row on the field. He could hear me. You know, catch me a ball today. Get us the ball today. He caught it in the other end zone, robbed him of a touchdown, ran it back for a touchdown on my end, came over and handed me the football.
Oh, too cool.
Yeah, so I have a touchdown, a 50-yard, which in the real league it's a 50-yard field, a 50-yard interception touchdown football that my guy did on the road, best of all. And they ended up winning the game by 5 points. So.
Is that the Philly team?
Yeah, the Philadelphia Soul, the team owned by a certain rock star, and the president is Mr. Ron Jaworski, who was at the game.
Let's see, the certain rock star, would that be a certain John Bon Jovi?
Yeah, a certain John Bon Jovi. I like his football.
Throw that rock star tag around kind of loose, don't you there, Spike?
Well, I think everyone at this... It's become the most famous franchise in the league just because of his ownership. I mean, I gotta give him that. These teams have been in the league much longer than aren't as famous. But
yeah, it's some fun football, too.
Yeah, arena football, it's never over till it's over. I'll tell you what, sitting in the second row, there was a couple...
Well, you know, any game where you got to kick a field goal through a set of paper clips.
Yeah, no, and they miss a lot. But the best part of all is, I mean, being in that second row.
I mean, the goalposts were wider in the paper football that we used to play in sixth grade.
Yeah, It's the most narrow field goals you could find. It's half the width of the NFL and several feet...
Yeah, AFL kicker makes 3 field goals in a season. He's good to go in the NFL.
Well, the funny thing is our guy can usually nail it from the other end zone, but up close a lot, his accuracy is not as good. It's a game that depends heavily on the touchdown. And like I said, sitting up close, not like a collision or a tackle right in front of you, the pads there. I mean, hockey has the glass there. We don't even have that in AFL games. I mean, you're right there. Sometimes if you're not looking...
I'd love to take one in sometime. That sounds like a blast.
Yeah, you know, the AF2, their minor leagues everywhere. I think they do have a West Virginia team somewhere. For some reason, I'm thinking Wheeling, but...
Yeah, that would make sense.
And let me tell you, just 2 linemen colliding into the boards in front of you, if you're not looking...
They'll spill your beer.
Yeah, you might spill more than your beer, but that's some good football. I love football, so I mean, you can't afford an NFL.
Hey, you're watching football in April.
I watch football year round.
You got to get the fix.
Yeah, well, there's just not enough days in the year for me between everything I'm into. But
you're a busy man, Spike.
Very busy, very busy, and well. We'll see what the world of labor has to bring.
So have you joined up?
I'm thinking about...
Last I checked, the IWW dues were pretty cheap.
Yeah, dues are pretty cheap. So it's not an expensive union to join. It certainly would give us a much louder voice because here minimum wage is going to be going up pretty good soon enough. I mean, not as far as it should.
So, are you working the Starbucks? I mean, I don't mean to get too personal. You working the Starbucks right there in Easton?
Yeah, I'm in the area.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And, you know, right now we make $7.25 an hour. I think I'm getting like a dime raise soon.
How are the tippers?
At our shop, tips aren't too bad. They're pretty generous at our shop. I worked at a mall shop, and it was a high-end mall. You know, we had Brooks Brothers.
Oh, the really filthy rich people that...
Yeah, and they tip like... I just as well spit into the thing, we'd have more in depth.
Yeah, right, you know, the Judge Schmills types, you know, well, the world needs ditch diggers too.
Yeah, yeah, essentially. A lot of people who look down on us were very rude, very impatient. At least where I am now, we get a decent amount of blue-collar people and the such who understand we kind of depend on tips, and they're pretty generous for the most part. There's one guy who's a white-collar guy who comes in every morning. He usually, at some point in the week, will just drop a $10 bill in.
That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not too bad. Some weeks I really kill on tips. And yeah, I guess it depends too on how much business, of course, we do. But I mean,
if you sold liquor, you'd do better.
Yeah, well, yeah, because drunk people forget how much money they're leaving. That's the trick there. Yeah, unfortunately, people who have a lot of caffeine can keep count. You know, so it's a little tougher. But
yeah, I'm down a penny.
Yeah,
give me another double shot.
You know, I really do like coffee. I just wish that I could make a better living being in the world of coffee. You know, it is a narcotic. I guess essentially I'm like some junkie who starts selling to, you know.
To support his habits.
Yeah, that's essentially what a lot of people who work for coffee places are. You know, it's just a way so they can get a cheaper fix on their caffeine. But
I'd be terrible there because I can't do caffeine anymore, and I'd be like the laid-back barista and just like...
You know what's really interesting is some of the most agitated people we get are people who are who drink decaf.
Well, we're frustrated.
There's people in the morning. There's one guy who's super nice. When I see him coming, I always have his ready for him. But there's so many of them. They're just so nasty. It's like, you know what? Drink some caffeine, man. This decaf.
Well, see, I gave up caffeine because it wrecks me, dude. I mean, you know, I get a thimble full of real coffee, and I feel like my heart's going to run out of my throat.
Yeah, I feel like that when I don't have coffee in me.
But it's the people who have quit and didn't want to. Those are your cranky caffeine drinkers.
Yeah, and also a lot of people with soy. That's another group. The soy milk group are another group that are kind of militant. And I mean, Louis Black, anyone ever heard him? He does a whole thing about soy milk, and it's true. It's not milk, it's bean juice.
Yes, it is. It's bean juice.
The bean juice crowd, man.
See, I don't do bean juice without cornbread. And,
yeah,
you know, and some ham hock to flavor it.
Yeah, brown sugar, molasses, maybe some hot pepper.
Hey, Spike, I got to roll on, but, man, good luck. I hope you join up. I hope you organize where you're working.
Yeah, well, I hope more people out there look into that and that union. Hopefully there's a few more people listening out there.
All right. Thanks a lot, Spike. Take care.
You too.
Great conversation. Bye now. Our pal Spike in Easton, PA, and rolling on we go. Hey, who have I got?
Susan.
Hey, Susan, how are you?
Hanging in there.
Atta girl.
It's a nice 80 degrees here.
Oh, don't taunt me.
I noticed that, dear Imus didn't bother to apologize to Hillary.
Oh, no, he wasn't called on to. That's okay. Sliming Hillary is, it's not only okay, it's expected.
Oh, yeah. Little point to ponder.
Okay.
Women's basketball team reaches the pinnacle that they can get.
Yeah.
They are feeling really, really good. And then they hear about being called a nappy-headed
ho, and a jigaboo.
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah, don't forget jigaboo.
I can't even force myself to say that.
Believe me, I'm not saying it for shock value. I feel like I'm in a time machine when I listen to this garbage, Susan.
I'm the classic West Coast suburban wasp. That's the way I grew up.
And there are words we don't say. Some of us don't even think them.
Yeah, but even where I grew up, there were things I knew that if I committed them, I would get my clock cleaned.
Well, Well, see, that's the thing. It's easy to sit there in that uber secure broadcast booth of his and call these women, you know, again, women, these horrific names, and know that he's never going to be held to account for it. Because at the end, remember, when his shift is over, he walks down the hall, he gets in the private elevator, he goes to the bottom, to the private entrance, goes from the private exit of the building into his limousine.
To his gated community.
To his gated or whatever, apartment there in somewhere, you know, probably a nice address in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm. With his security guard.
And never has to deal with anybody. And, you know, if he goes out, well, you know, he'll go to some Tony store where he won't have to worry about running into, God knows, a member of the Rutgers women's basketball team.
I sincerely hope one day he commits a felony and ends up in jail. I really do.
Oh, come on, Susan. I mean, I'm not being mean, but, you know, keep it real, would you?
Hey,
he
back is a bitch.
He and Flush Flimball, they're not going to go to any prisons.
No, but
I mean, they wouldn't even go to like Club Fed.
I realize it's unrealistic, but
one may hope. Sure.
I consulted with the Google.
Yeah. Oh, the Google. Yes.
Yes. I came up with just on a couple of minutes looking. The National Restaurant Association either has advertised on his show or is still doing so. Same with the New Hampshire International Speedway. And Aflac, of all things, supports his ranch.
Aflac.
Mm-hmm. You know, with the duck.
Yeah. Well, thank God the Geico caveman, or is it Progressive or Geico? Geico, it's the Geico cavemen. Thank God they're not advertising with him. We'll probably find out that they are. But you know, I'm not going there.
You want to write a letter, a nice, polite. People want to write a nice, polite letter to these organizations and say, this is really not conduct.
Yeah, but see, then the company says, well, didn't you hear his apology? He apologized. He said it was a stupid remark.
And that apology is not worth paper it's written on, and everybody knows it. If they don't know it, they're brain dead.
True enough. But this is the state of media. I happened to be producing Dr. Bill a couple of hours ago, and you know, lo and behold, Dr. Bill O'Brien is the last guy in the world I ever expected to hear do radio about American Idol.
Yeah, wasn't that just a?
No, I was sitting here with, you know, cranking my little jaw up off the keyboard. But you know, he made some very profound points about it. You know, the fact that the business with Sanjaya or whomever. Brings to light the malleability of our electoral system.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But more than that, you know, this is our culture, Susan. You know, this is and so, you know, somewhere I've got that soundbite of Tony gutless Tony Snow, and I mean that literally. Gutless Tony Snow saying racism is only a memory.
Yeah, right. Have you seen that article about, I think it was Maryland, and the governor of Maryland is ready to sign the bill. They've passed a law that, assuming all 50 states pass their own laws, we have just circumvented the Electoral College.
Now, bear in mind, California tried to do that, too. Didn't fly. But, yeah, it's the beginning of an attempt to, for folks who aren't familiar, it says that the electors of a given state will be bound by the popular vote of that state.
If all 50 states follow suit.
Right. So what they're trying to do there is build the beginnings of what is referred to in most circles as an interstate compact.
Yeah. Oh, and little piece of news. I don't know whether or not you picked it up. You probably have, but for the people who haven't, Monica Goodling has resigned.
Yes, she has. I've got that sitting here. Hadn't gotten to it yet. Very good.
I don't know whether or not she thinks that
her resignation, Susan, was, it's being reported, 3 sentences long.
Hmm?
Yeah, her resignation was 3 sentences long.
Oh, yeah?
One sentence was, I am hereby submitting my resignation to the Office of Attorney General. The other one of the other sentences was, may God bless you richly as you continue your service to America. I can only guess at what sentence number 2 was. How about, I am hereby submitting my resignation to the Office of Attorney General. And ask her 1,000 of them. Murrow's bargain that he's made. As long, you know, he gets to do the occasional skin blistering anti-Bush administration comment as long as he continues to periodically talk about Paris Hilton.
Uh-huh.
It's a deal with the devil.
Someone has spoken up against Donahue.
Oh, what a priest from Kentucky, wasn't it?
Catholic priest, yeah. But you have to admit, took nerve.
Well, yeah, because Donahue will call his Opus Dei buddies down, and the priest in Kentucky will get strangled with some barbed wire.
Yeah. But we are getting up to the top of the hour, so I will let you go on to the news.
All right. Well, thank you very kindly, Susan. You have yourself a wonderful, wonderful weekend.
You too, and give Agnes my best.
I sure will. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
I'm sorry. Whoever I just hung up on, I apologize. Please call back. I pushed the wrong button. I'm not competent to do this. Good Talk Radio is not self-produced radio. So if you were, whoever you were on hold, I'm sorry. That was not deliberate rudeness on my part. Do please feel free to call back. I hate it when I do that kind of stuff. But yeah, Monica Goodling is gone. Okay, you called back. Thank you very kindly. We'll find out who you are. Hey, welcome to the program.
Gee, Bob, did I do something wrong? I got hit. Somebody hit the ejector seat?
Shot you right through the roof, Mr. Bodine.
Luckily, I was wearing my steel hat.
Yeah. Look here, Uncle Jed. Oh, I got to take the bullet. Got to take the bulletproof canopy off first.
Oh. Well, let's see. The one I loved last night was you. I sent you the thing about the thing in Alabama.
Yeah.
Now my question is, can I go down and teach it when we get to cover Nathaniel Bedford Forrest, please?
Pretty please, yeah. No,
I'll do the Crusades. Oh, much better.
Hey, I want to do Helen Keller.
Oh
boy, that just sounded wrong, didn't it? No, I want to cover the Helen Keller segment so that I can explain it, because especially growing up where I grew up. She had scarlet fever, and the next thing you know, she couldn't see, and she couldn't hear, and she couldn't talk, and she lived in a world of darkness, and it was the miracle at the pump, and it's the miracle worker, and Annie Sullivan, and the work that was done was just amazing. But that you never get past that, it's the end of the miracle worker. She's standing at the pump, and she says, "Why?" And that's the end of the play.
And you don't find out that Helen Keller went on to become one of the most, no pun intended, vociferous advocates for workers' rights and a profound opponent of war.
Well, you know, it's like this thing I saw, the story the other day, where they were talking about, and I know there's a couple of things I think coming out on PBS, talking about Martin Luther King. You know, talking about after he had the I Have a Dream speech and all that, how in the last couple of years of his life, you know, he got into a whole bunch of workers' rights. And amazingly enough, he didn't appear a whole lot on any TV for a while.
Well, and you certainly don't, and I think I saw the same article, Luke, you don't hear about that version of Martin Luther King. It's like, well, it's sort of the same way that the right-wingers treat Yeshua.
Yeah.
You hear the render unto Caesar and Peter owned a sword business and all of that, lo, I'm going to come back and yada, 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 and I'm going to ride my Harley Davidson down out of the clouds. But you never hear any of the stuff that goes against the grain of everything that those freaks believe in. When, you know, you never hear the story about him saying, you know, or if you do hear the story about how he says that it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's allegorical. Everything else is the literal God's truth, but that part's allegorical. Give me more money.
It's like, no, money changers, no, 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 that isn't what we call bankers now. They, no, 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 no. You know, it's just amazing on some of this stuff. Oh, let's see, what was the one? You were talking last night about Cheney. I'm just waiting until Cheney starts talking backwards like in a David Lynch movie.
God, that's just sick.
I know it is, but I enjoy it. But, you know, I say that piece of tape is just hilarious to watch, the one with him standing over in the bushes. It's like, say, I'm surprised he wasn't wearing a cloak like the Emperor in Star Wars.
See, I immediately went to the Sith analogy when I saw that too. It looks like he's, you know, watching young Darth Maul work his magic or something. Yeah,
I'm just surprised, like say, that he wasn't sitting there talking into his boutonniere.
Yeah, or his shoe.
What I want to say now.
Well, this is after all. This is the Bush administration. Competent, they're not. So.
But it's like, say, you're just sitting there going, just hold up a stick, please. I want the lightning to strike now, please. Just be done with it. Tonight, Mr. Matthews had on Robert Baer, who, you know, is one of the ex-CIA people who make a whole lot of sense, and was asking him who was responsible for us getting into Iraq. And I think Baer had told him like three different times, the administration, the administration.
No, 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 I know you, no, not, no. It wasn't the no. So you're saying it wasn't the administration. Who was it then?
Who made it possible, and you just wanted Baer to look at him and go, you did, Chris. You were the one with the pom-poms going, yay, go team. You know, it's like Matthews is one of these people who's now, Tweety Bird, excuse me, I should say, he's now into this revisionist history. Have you noticed now, oh, I was totally against this war from the beginning. And it's like, who? Who are you, sir? I'm sorry. I thought I knew who you were. Can you please show me your ID? Because I must have. I know I've been looking at the wrong. They've been running the wrong names under your picture when they show you. It's like, because the fellow I knew whose name was Chris Matthews is the one fellow who said today we are all neocons. You know, and it's like, God. So I mean, just some of this stuff. Oh, last night when I came out of my office, it was late. So I was listening on the radio on the way home to the ABC News. They simulcast it.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so it's hit 6:30 here locally. That's when it hit. So I turn it on. I want to hear about the Iranians, the Iranians letting go of the sailors. Fourth story.
Behind
the stabilization controls being put into cars, the order, you know, that's going out on it.
Right.
The story about the head of Ford getting his bonus while they lost their shirts.
Pretty offensive.
Yeah, and then the story about the University of Southern California, Texas, and like Harvard, in some scandal about where the people doing their student loans had been giving them kickbacks. And that was the fourth story. And the fourth story was the Iranians letting go of the sailors.
It's in realms like that, Luke, that I wish we really did have a free market, because network news as we know it would cease to exist.
Well, you know, it's one of those things. It's like you were talking just a second ago. You know, it's like this thing with Oberman. Oberman has to make his deal with the devil to get on. And the thing of it is, you're sitting there going, okay, Oberman's the hottest thing MSNBC's got on. Where are the duplicates? I mean, why MSNBC got two, at least one other Oberman, or at least, you know, an Oberman on the way. You know what I mean? But of course, we get Scarborough, we get Tucker, we get
Glenn Beck.
Oh, I don't even want to go about him. God, someone whose haircut apparently passed away. You know, we all say Hannity's is the life support system.
Bill Bennett, don't forget Bill Bennett.
Please, now the
I know
the gambler of virtues.
Yes, the virtuous gambler.
Oh, it's like I say, every time he appears, he should be wearing that little croupier's hat. You know,
and the little garters on the sleeves, and
They ought to make him do it. It's like God. The one I liked is now. Well, we're going to come out. The British are going to come out and show that they were on the right side. And I'm sitting there going, look, if you all had the satellites and you have like the boat GPS from the boat they boarded, why hadn't that stuff been out for the last week? I'm sitting there. This is going to be like Kuwaiti. Oh yeah, all these troops are massing on the border. Don't touch the ink; it's still kind of wet.
There's no end to the con jobs.
It's just, like I say, it's just amazing on this stuff. Well, I tell you what, let's see if we can actually get you doing something normal. It's top of the hour. Let me let you know.
You're going to make me hit a break, aren't you?
I know, just for the fun of it. Just be different.
All right.
One quick thing.
Yeah.
Do you think tonight we'll get to see even a more fun burnout by Billo? That was just so much fun. It was awesome.
Doing it to Geraldo Rivera. Flipping out on him. They're desperate for ratings over there.
Like I said, the Thorazine Express is leaving the station.
Well, I was listening to Joe Vecchio's show this morning. He was talking with his good friend Carolyn Kay from MakeThemAccountable.com, and she said, you know, they've proven that anger is, you know, blowing your stack like that's really, really bad for the heart. Bill O'Reilly's out there just, you know, all his audience is angry old white dudes, and he's killing his own geriatric audience.
Well, the thing of it is now, he's at the point now, like I say, he's had this. The other night he had to cut the lady off, the one he had on the thing on his radio show where he cut off his co-host.
Right.
It's like, Bill, you're not even attacking the people out in the field anymore. You're attacking the people standing beside you. And
it's a mark of sublime desperation. Luke, have a great weekend.
Right. You too.
Bye now.
Bye.
All right, we'll be back after the news. A little something special for you from a guy who's going to be on the show pretty soon, a gentleman by the name of John Koontz. Since we were talking about Imus and his ugly racism, what a magnificent tune this is. Name of the album coming out. It's in stores in Portland now. It can never happen here. Enjoy. This is Emmett Till.
Gather around me, people. A story I will tell about the murder of a child by the name of Emmett Till. A stain of blood remains on the soul of this nation as long as murderers walk free and the law is forsaken. All across this land is no justice still for the murder of the innocent child named Emmett Till. Down in Mississippi, where the magnolia smells sweet, still remains a stench of murder, injustice, and deceit. In the little town, news traveled fast, and when the two men heard, they decided to hunt down and kill the mockingbird. The women folk down there, they all know the facts. When the white men come to get you, you ain't never coming back. All across this land, there is no justice still for the murder of the innocent child named Emmett Till.
Quality News Network. A top aide to Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez handed in her resignation this afternoon. Monica Goodling, who was a senior counsel to Gonzalez, told Congress 2 weeks ago that she would not testify about the firings of 8 federal prosecutors. Instead, Goodling asserted her Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. The U.S. administration has acknowledged today for the first time that climate change is a global challenge. A delegate to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change made that statement after the organization released its summary on global warming. Among its findings, 30% of Earth's species face extinction. That is, if temperatures rise more than 3.5 degrees above averages in the 1980s and 90s. Now back on British soil, 15 sailors and Marines say they were in Iraqi waters when they were surrounded and seized by Iran 2 weeks ago. The statement contradicts their purported confessions shown on Iranian television during their captivity. The freed personnel say those confessions were coerced. Pentagon officials say more than 12,000 National Guard troops could be sent back to Iraq later this year. It'll be the first time full National Guard brigades are deployed in Iraq for a second term. And the death toll has risen to at least 35 in Ramadi, where a suicide truck bomber crashed into an Iraqi police checkpoint and released chlorine gas. Taliban fighters have seized local government offices in Afghanistan's southeastern region. The local police have backed down due to lack of ammunition. The Washington Post reports recently declassified Defense Department documents show Saddam Hussein did not have a relationship with Osama bin Laden or al-Qaeda. The documents contradict the Bush administration's continuing insistence that al-Qaeda was active within Iraq prior to the 2003 invasion. International aid groups say disease is increasing significantly within temporary encampments set up to help victims of the Solomon Island tsunami. Officials say fresh water, medicine, and improved sanitary facilities are needed to save lives. Federal security auditors report the IRS has lost nearly 500 laptop computers over the last 3 years. Many of those lost or stolen contain sensitive information about taxpayers. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news are next.
Run for your lives. The lenders are coming. They're in the mailbox. They're overloading your email. They're on the phone. They won't be denied. The best rate, the biggest bargain, fewer points, too much information. Gold Coast Financial to the rescue. They can offload the overload and handcraft a loan that suits your needs. Are you on lender overload? Relief is just minutes away. Call Gold Coast Financial, 831-649-8757. 831-649-8757. Gold Coast Financial.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I want to help you grow your business. At the Duplication Connection, we specialize in CD and DVD duplication in quantities from 1 to a million. If your company needs mass quantities of CDs or DVDs, you can now use us as one of your primary marketing tools. Thousands of our customers have depended on our fast turnaround and superior quality product for almost 20 years, and so will you. Please call us at 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
The list of pet foods being recalled due to contamination is growing. The massive recall now includes dog biscuits, puppy chews, and wet food sold earlier than originally reported. The full recall list is available on the web. And a newly released study indicates that children who eat a Mediterranean-style diet appear to have fewer problems with asthma and respiratory allergies. A space tourist is set to lift off tomorrow for a trek to the International Space Station. Charles Simonyi reportedly paid $25 million for a 13-day trip with the U.S.-Russian crew. Two cosmonauts are also making the journey, but they'll stay on board the ISS for 6 months. Greenpeace says Apple Computer has the worst environmental record of any important electronic manufacturing company in the U.S. Greenpeace was particularly critical of Apple's recycling and toxic substance programs. The internet phone carrier Vonage has been court-ordered not to sign up any new customers. A civil jury found the company guilty of patent infringement earlier this year. Vonage is appealing that judge's ruling. And in a report to securities regulators, Ford Motors revealed it gave out multimillion-dollar bonuses to its executives last year, even though the troubled company posted a record annual loss of $13 billion. Both Wall Street and the New York Mercantile Exchange are closed today. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Okay, how about a poll question just to get things started? What do you say? And, you know, we work by committee here. I don't just do things. What do you say we make a practice of giving Agnes every Friday night off? What do you think? Is that a, would that be a nice thing to do? I'm thinking about that. I'll let her know the results of the voting. You can send your vote in to bob@headonradio.com. Or you can vote in the chat room. I'm watching that, too. The question, what is a Mediterranean diet? Because it was in the news there. I've got my own take on that story. Children with who eat Mediterranean diets have less trouble with asthma, yada, 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 respiratory disorders. Down the road, they probably got less heart trouble, too. Mediterranean diet, good bit of fish, a lot of fruits, a lot of nuts. But more than anything else, a Mediterranean diet is primarily a fresh diet. And it's foods that have not been largely screwed with by the American agrochemical business poison conglomerate. But, you know, next thing you know, I'm going to be sounding like the George Norrie show, so we'll just stop right there. Let's go to the phones. Our good friend Steady is on the road, and he's called in periodically. You know, he went to Mississippi to help with the...
computer terminals, and just had a dinner with shrimp and chili, and spent the day at the city park doing a little bit of weeding, kind of a relaxed schedule, but I'm on schedule tomorrow to actually put the tools on and do some electrical work. I have to say that the difference between this area in New Orleans and Mississippi, the population density is much higher in New Orleans, and the devastation is it's been hit a lot harder. There's a lot more people who've been hit. I think the number is 300,000 homes were lost in this area. And the work continues.
So what is the status as you observe it now?
Still a lot of boarded up homes. As I go down the streets throughout here, we got, you know, the paints as they search through the homes, you know, from the rescue crews on the buildings. Some of the dates are September 13th, 15th, 16th are the ones that I see. And oddly enough, the Common Ground facility at St. Mary's Church or St. Mary's of the Angels is on Congress Avenue. It's just kind of ironic to me to show up down here. There's all kinds of crews. The people are everything from, again, have left their homes, and the construction and the volunteer forces are like a number 300 here. So they've got an outstanding program, and I'd advise anyone to come to New Orleans to do their work rather than a Mississippi location. They're feeding people for free and housing them for free. They do expect you to do a collateral duty, whether it's a KP or security,
sure,
times a week, in addition to your 40 hours a week, which is kind of relaxed. They have a very liberal policy here regarding birthing. It's community showers, co-ed showers, co-ed birthing. So I had to sign a few waivers. And one of the things is, you know, any type of contact and sexual contact or anything like that must be consensual on both parts, and silence is not consent.
You know, that just makes good sense to me. Steady, what is the attitude of the
three-story building. There's about 10 to 15 people per room, and it's an old school building. It's a big school building. The chow hall, if you will, and kitchen is in the what was a basketball gym. As you know, when I was in Pascagoula, we were sleeping in a basketball gym, but we were going about three blocks to a kitchen to eat. But this common ground is thorough. I mean, they have this welcome package. They're aware of the police element that doesn't want people to recover. They want to run people out of here. And like many towns in the United States, are doing what they call redevelopment, which is really relocation of undesirables.
So have you been to see the levees?
I have not. I did drive over a lot of the bridges and got to look at some of the piers along the coastline that I did see from the piers. The piers have not been replaced, have not been fixed. They're still thrashed. But I haven't seen the levees yet. I know that not all of them didn't break, but I definitely want to get out to Pontchartrain, which is not too far from here, and just take a look at it.
Well, the reason I asked you about people who had returned or what you could gauge about people returning expressly steady because of that fear, that idea that we're going to engage in redevelopment, because you're smack dab in the middle of where the Poe folks were.
Yep.
And I don't mean any disparagement by that, but those are the most vulnerable people. Those are people most likely to have, I mean, they've already lost all their possessions. They've lost everything but their lives, those who didn't lose their lives. And so it would seem that those are the most, those people are most easily further dispossessed. It sounds to me from the way you're describing law enforcement and whatnot that we're looking at a situation where looking out for those people who have been so horrendously wrecked in their lives and in their very existence, not a lot of people looking out for them, is there?
Not really, and it's certainly not law enforcement in this area. But I do see, on a positive note, many bumper stickers that say, New Orleans, proud to call it home. And the spirit is high amongst people in the area that are expecting their money or involved in the relief effort. Many people are holding on strongly, especially today, very vocal about their faith, saying that you got to trust in God, and if you trust in anything else, you're going to come up empty-handed. It's good and encouraging to hear that from people who have been so devastated, and I don't think it's founded optimism again. It's not faithless. People are holding on strong by their faith. They've lost everything, and they turn towards their faith. And what a weekend for me to actually show up down here and experience that. It's Good Friday, and it's on Congress Avenue and Common Ground, of finding out all this stuff about the efforts in New Orleans, having seen the difference between what's going on in Mississippi and here, the relief effort, as I said, Mississippi is, there's no end in sight, but here it's just, I mean, it's
some of that has to do with the military. It sounds to me, unless I'm just guessing wrong, it sounds to me like some of that has to do with the militancy of the people.
In their faith and adherence to that and just trust, I would say so. I think they're the spirit of the Mardi Gras and the music, as maybe John Fox mentioned this morning, has a lot to do with that, and just a bond. And in an organization like Common Ground, I haven't met any of the real staff members other than the volunteers who do the intake and coordinating, but I intend to, and it's just a very small part of what I'm of my being here involved in the effort, but I have to say it's encouraging. I think more people in you, what you're doing, Bob, to let people like me just get on the radio and share some of this is going to bring people down to this region. And I would say, come to New Orleans. This is where the need.
I wish I had a skill. I would love nothing better to be down to go down there and try to help out for a little while. But I got no trade. I got no skill. All I can do is sit here and yammer.
Well, I think the microphones you saw at this time and in Hammer and Nails, and certainly helping out with opening up the mic to me and anyone else who calls in. You know, shouts out to Sarge. I wouldn't even be down here if you hadn't taken his calls. And I'm sorry to hear of his situation. And we all know that keep your head high and chin up. And don't let the circumstances around us beat us down, and there'll be a better day.
Well, by all means, Steady, and this is not shameless promotion of the network on my part, tell people that you run across that, that we're with them in spirit, that many of us wish we could be with them in the flesh, that we stand behind them, and this forum is open to them, Steady. If they, you know, they don't have to be listening. If they want to call and tell us about what's going on, tell us what the successes are, tell us what the failures are, give them the daggum phone number. Let them in on the shows. Let them know that America wants to hear from them. We haven't forgotten, Steady.
I will do that, Bob. I was distributing flyers for the call we did on Monday night. I think that was last week.
Yeah.
At the time, it's like Tammy and Amy said, it seems like they've lived 10 years in a couple months. And I say in a month here, it seems like I've lived 10 months. I left Oregon on the 24th of February, and I think I got to Sarge's, I think, on the 15th or somewhere right around there. So I've actually only been involved with the relief effort now for 3 weeks, but it seemed like a very long time away from home, whereas the vacations always like fly by. This has not been a vacation.
No, and I know that you were very badly missed at home too, Steady. And we're thinking about that as well.
Well, bless you and Agnes for keeping in touch and allowing me to keep in touch this way. Patty, if you're listening, I love you, and you know, we'll be home after the California Democratic Convention, which is the 27th through 29th in San Diego.
All right, I don't know how to begin to describe how I feel about what you're doing. To just pull up stakes and go and go somewhere and try to help because you realize that people need it, and to do it, I mean, I know a little bit about the situation behind what you've been doing and everything, Steady. To do it on nothing but the faith that others will buoy you up in times of need, and then to get where you're going and find and be able to help people and find yourself in a place where what you can offer is so profoundly needed. I have tremendous admiration for that, Steady, and we think about you. We wish you well. We wish you to be safe. We want you to be okay. We want the people around you to be okay. We want them to recover. New Orleans is a place that it's not just a physical location. It's a place in the American mythos, and we need that place. We need the physical New Orleans, but we need the New Orleans that is in our heart, and it won't be right until the physical place is made right. Does that make any sense at all, Steady?
Absolutely, and I thank you for the props in regards to my situation. I got Katrina'd in a very different way by, let's say, forces in our higher government hireling servants who wish to maintain their power, and that's not selfless promotion, that's a fact. And I thank you for providing the outlet to share that, Bob. I hope you have a great holiday weekend, and maybe, maybe we'll call in again next week. I'll be in Pascagoula, though, going back to work. If I get through the hoops at the Northrop Grumman facility, I'll be working for union scale, doing electrical work, and trying to just build up my own war chest to get on out of here and help those as I leave.
Well, blessings upon you, Steady. Blessings upon you. Be well, stay safe, and keep in touch, please.
Thank you, sir. You do the same.
Bye now.
Bye. Yeah, bye, everybody.
Our good friend Steady, Michael Stettler, calling from the Lower Ninth Ward in New Orleans. I don't know how to put words to the admiration I have for what that man's doing, because I've seen him do it other places, too. Something needs done. He doesn't wait for someone else to do it. He gets up, and he goes, and he does it. It amazes me. So we'll take a break, and we'll come back. You want to jump in? We're going to run a break, and if you want to call in, I'll actually know who's on the phone. How's that sound? By the way, we're running 2-1 for Agnes to have Fridays off, by the way. I said by the way twice, didn't I? This is the Head On Radio Network. This is America's liberal voice. Yeah, a little New Orleans music. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Pretty things that I ever seen. running wet all the way. Meet your boys on the battle front. Meet your boys on the battle front. Meet your boys on the battle front. Roll your wild tapatula, gonna stomp some rump. It's just coming from all over town. Big T is singing, gonna take them down. Doc Kimo, Pito, hey, like, hey. Indians are rulers on the holiday.
Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
When Bruce and I filled in for Bob Kincaid, we didn't know what to expect, but we sure didn't expect a call from the decider.
Told Walmart to sell the Easter egg die kits, you know, the ones with the resurrection egg. We decided they can't do with it, that we were going to support Walmart and go with what the Lord told them and buy some of them resurrection egg kits. And, you know, I found the resurrection egg. God spoke to me through that egg. And God told me that I am the fourth member of the Holy Trinity. We're calling it the Holy Quadraphonic. And so now I'm the fourth voice of the Holy Trinity. So now I've got four voices in my head. I have the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and the decider. I'm the decider. I get to decide.
Don't miss Head On with Bob Kincaid, weekdays 7 to 10 p.m. and Fourth Estate Radio with John Fox and Bruce Birch, Saturdays 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Has anyone ever said you are the picture of health?
You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps, so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage, when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
Yeah, there's a mythic place in our psyche for New Orleans, and you know, I think about it, and I think about the negligence with which the region was treated, continues to be treated by the Bush administration. Yeah, God, what was that quote a while back? I came down here to remind you that the federal government has not forgotten that you exist. We just don't give a damn. It just makes me want to scream. Lord, I think of a Jimmy Buffett lyric, the wino and I know, the coffee is strong at the Café du Monde, and the donuts are too hard to touch, and just like a fool, when those sweet goodies cool, you eat till you eat way too much. And do you realize there was every possibility in the world that they almost got away with it, and they might yet? Taking away all that hot, steamy, humid funk and turning it into some white-breaded, cleaned-up, purdied-up Disneyland version of the Gulf Coast and of the alluvial Mississippi Delta. There's wrong. Somebody asked me the other day, what is sin to you? Well, taking away the juju, if you will, of those bayous and those backwaters, and taking that away would be a sin against the national identity of the region and this country. Lord, I think back to the. To the birth of this nation. A few years ago, back in the bad old days of terrestrial radio, I interviewed the author of a book called Jefferson's Great Gamble about the Louisiana Purchase. And I'm reminded as we watch the recovery effort and the sleazy, crappy way that the people on the Gulf Coast are being treated by the Bush administration, and I remember something. And that is that After the Louisiana Purchase, there were still no plans to extend the vote to the people who had involuntarily suddenly become American citizens. And it was in New Orleans. Oh, what was the... Ah, daggummit. Wrong brain cell. It'll come to me at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'll be screaming in my sleep again. The general, the American military general, who it turned out was a traitor for the Spanish, who operated out of New Orleans at roughly the same time, and Aaron Burr, who at the just the birth of the new nation, hardly over, and seeing where Thomas Jefferson was taking the country, giving up on it, and trying to put a band of people together to go and where did he want to set up his colonies across the Ouachita River, the Ouachita country, and Jefferson becoming so politically terrified of Aaron Burr that he trumped up all those charges against him. And it's not a far drive here in West Virginia to go over to a little place called Blennerhassett Island, where Burr stopped and described his plan. And by the time he got on board the flatboats on the Ohio and headed for New Orleans, the Jefferson administration had already decided that they were going to trump up charges against him and accuse him of trying to overthrow the United States. The same guy, bear in mind, the same guy, Jefferson, who had said, what? The tree of liberty must be watered from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. By the time he reached the presidency, had decided, I was having a bad day. Aaron Burr's committed treason. Fascinating. Just fascinating. And people out there say that American history is dull or American history is boring. Let's go to the phones and find out who I've got on this Agnes Free Friday. Hey, how you doing? Welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. It's
Peter!
That guy. Yeah. Bob, you know, I so wanted to call in tonight and do a George Bush Easter message, but I just can't do a sequel to that. That was just one of those moments in time that I just can't get back.
No, the decider was a one-shot.
It really was. I just,
holy quadriphonic.
Yeah, I've lost it, you know. It just really lost it. I had fragments of a Bush message, mind you. I had fragments. It involved Laura and George dying Easter eggs, and you know, my poll numbers is getting pretty low, and it's affecting my egg dipper, and
my egg dipper's drooping.
Yes, and you know, back in the day we had Abu Ghraib which kind of kept the dipper, you know, stirring the eggs, but I just can't do that anymore. But you know, that's just so not, you know, the Holy Quadrophonic. That was just a one time only. But I wanted to tell you such interesting news.
Yes.
Well, you know, the Baptists were boycotting Walt Disney forever because they had gay days and this sort of thing. In fact, they just ended that boycott in 2005.
Declared victory and went home, did they?
I guess they did. But Walt Disney turns around and now they've opened it for gay couples to get married at Walt Disney World in California in their fairy tale wedding program.
And, no.
Oh yeah, and you can do it like for anywhere from $8,000 to $45,000. You know, it doesn't matter that it's not legal in California, that Walt Disney has opened it up for that. But I just thought that was interesting.
There's a buck to be made, Peter.
There's a buck to be made. And
the law will not get in the way of the American corporate ambition. And frankly, we will have a free America when there are no second class citizens. Just as quickly as corporate America figures out there's a heck of a lot of money to be made out of it.
Well, there is. And here's what's really interesting. The Baptist Church was boycotting Disney, quote, because they were violating, quote, moral righteousness and traditional family values. But I want to tell you about what's in the... I rarely pick up a local newspaper, but I did today.
Yeah, you'll learn.
Oh, my God. The Baptists are just falling apart in Florida. In Holly Hill, Florida, the former Baptist pastor of Holly Hill, he's been arrested for scamming an elderly woman out of $80,000. and he bought an airplane, and the airplane cost $30,000. The church asked him to step down.
Wait, a $30,000 airplane? What did he buy, an ultralight?
It says here it's a...
I mean, like one seat and a Briggs & Stratton engine behind it hanging on...
But it was purchased with church funds. And he used the church to make connections with, he gained the confidence of an 89-year-old victim who funded a lot of it through the church. And they've frozen the bank account for the church and the Baptist preachers being held in the Cobb County Detention Center on a $50,000 bond. And this is all at the same time that, you know, they're boycotting Disney, you know, it was probably who's befriending that lady. But then also in the same page, you move over to Pensacola, and you've got another Baptist pastor going down in flames. Now, this guy, his name is Leon Rankin. And he begged,
Brother Leon.
Leon begged the parents. He molested their 16-year-old boy, and he was begging the parents not to tell the police, but he didn't know that they'd already told the police. They were tape recording it. And he's been arrested. He's surrendered to the police, charged with lewdness of his conduct with a child. He's a longtime sex offender, and he's been asked to step down from the church.
Wait. Back up. You don't just drive the bus past the line like that, Peter.
Which line?
He's a longtime sex offender.
Oh yeah. Let's see. It's not the first time. He had sex.
Can
with
wait?
Old boy.
Now, stop! You just stop that. So he was hired into the Baptist pulpit, and the deacons or the exalted noble Turks or whoever does the preacher hiring there.
Well, he apparently went through the 3-day or the 3-week.
He went to Ted Haggard School.
Yes, the Ted Haggard School for recovering child abusers.
Kitty diddlers, yeah.
Yeah, and what's really priceless about this, the name of the church in Pensacola is the Restoration Full Gospel Baptist Church.
Hallelujah, praise Jesus. Put your hands upon the radio.
You know that congregation got down and just stormed for a while.
Oh, well, you know, but I'm sure there's a deacon who's ready to come out and make a public statement. You know, we've had him in counseling for a while, and we can say for certain that he is 100% sexually interested in grown-ups now.
Yeah, no doubt.
Oh, God.
Just amazing to me. But, you know, and thinking about, you know, you were talking about, you know, so much tonight, you know, Jesus and the crucifixion and all that. But, you know, I got to say, I don't think that, and I know you believe this, too, that Jesus never intended
any of this.
He only intended.
Where did I say to build a water slide?
You know, whether you call him Yeshua, but you know, but we just see the results of that. All this hypocrisy and carrying on in the church. But it's just so interesting. It's the Baptist church that seems to have the word. You know, and is it because they're cut from the? Is that why they hate us? Is that why they hate gay folks so bad? It's because they're cut from the same cloth. Is that the problem?
How do you mean?
Well, let's take somebody who's obsessive compulsive. Okay, you know, someone who's obsessive compulsive in the
frequent hand washing, got to go back to the stove, make sure the coffee pot's off 6 times, that kind of thing. Yeah.
But then you have the quote good obsessive compulsive, and maybe they're like an ultra studier, and they go to college and they get straight A's and they become a surgeon, a brain surgeon, but that's compulsive.
Or a fry cook.
Well, maybe a fry cook, but it's compulsive, it's like a channel compulsive. But you know, I think they're probably really uncomfortable around obsessive compulsive who, you know, can't really focus it in, you know, a way that society approves of. And obsessive compulsive disorder is serious business. It's not a joke. I'm not trying to.
No. It's crippling in some instances.
It really is. And but don't you think the obsessive compulsive people who are obsessive compulsive in a way that society approves of look down on the obsessive compulsives who aren't able to channel it? I kind of think it's a cut of the same cloth.
Yeah, I do. And of course, right now we live in a country where apparently it is okay to be obsessive compulsive about how somebody else has sex.
Well, yeah, that's true, absolutely, and it always has been.
You know, but more—it's more so sometimes than other. You know, one of the things that just drives me bananas, Peter,
is that in describing this, in the intolerant culture in which we live right now, there are religious people, for a loosely used term, who will describe the closed-minded, bigoted, hateful, almost, well, this era as another great, dig this, another great awakening.
Oh, I've heard those terms, Bob, and it's
disgusting. Because the other great awakening is something that happened, oh, I guess in the, maybe I'm wrong, but in the early 19th century in the United States, when everybody became really closed-minded and freaked out religiously, and, you know, panhandling preachers went across the country, ripping people off, and that was called an awakening.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to agree. The dumbing down of America and the dumbing down of the church. Your interview the other night was pointing out this whole thing about the literal obsession with the Bible taking place. I can't wait to get a hold of that book, by the way.
Oh, you're going to have a fit.
Oh, I can't wait to. And you know, what's happening is the paperback version of spirituality has infested the whole church. It's, you know, name it and claim it.
Yeah, and it's got the paperback fundamentalist Bible has a picture of what's his name? Fabio, man of love, on the front, you know, with his shirt half ripped open. And, you know, look at Jesus.
Well, you know what they're doing now, Bob? There's another facet of this name it and claim it thing that's going on in the church. Now, it has to do with illness. Someone with cancer or severe arthritis pain, they'll tell you, just don't claim that pain. Don't claim.
We rebuke this pain in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We rebuke it and cast it out. Amen.
Right. And
sorry, I know how to do it.
So unfair to the person who's suffering of it, because you've got them in a position where it's because they claimed it. They're weak because they claimed it. So it all comes down to saying you're weak.
Yeah, it's your fault. You're sick.
And I'm rich, and I've got a Cadillac and a big
this
house.
Is
so
the
I claim the good things, so I'm strong.
This is the fundamentalist version of universal health care.
Well, there you go too. There you go.
I gotta see while we're talking. I'm gonna hop on the tubes and see if I can find this thing real quick. Did you go to see the website Why Won't God Heal Amputees?
Yes, I did, Bob, and I looked at it for a few minutes after the show last night and intended to go back to it today, but I haven't read it in depth. I have a feeling there's some very good
stuff
there. Well,
this is where I had to go. This is a direct quote on that website from Marilyn Hickey Ministries, okay? This is an important discussion, Peter. This is how the insurance industry will co-opt the evangelical and fundamentalist movement. This name it and claim it garbage.
Like a wellness program sort of thing?
Well, what they'll, you don't want godless atheist universal health care, because they'll take away your ability to have miraculous healing. So this is from Marilyn Hickey Ministries on the Why Won't God Heal Amputees.com website. Marilyn Hickey Ministries wrote, and I'm assuming Marilyn is a woman, not like Marilyn Manson. Although Marilyn Manson came from the same the basic cultural backwater of this fundamentalist garbage, if I understand correctly, as did Sam Kinison. Quote, prayer is a communication system we have available to fellowship with our Heavenly Father, and which activates His promises in our lives. No one can beat this system. It's quick, it's efficient, and it's available to you right now.
What happened to a lifetime of learning? And what happened to
standing
in BS?
It's a Ginsu commercial. There's more. Prayer reaches our Heavenly Father instantly. Years ago, my mother's doctors found a tumor in her brain. When I heard the news, I was out of town, so I could not lay my hands upon her. That night, as fear swept over me, the Lord quickened Psalms 107:20 to my spirit. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. I sent God's word long distance to my mother's brain. When she was x-rayed again by her doctors, there was no evidence that any tumor had ever existed. Hallelujah! Our prayers are swifter than any medical technique. Only born-again believers who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord can have a relationship with the Father, and prayer is the communication method. How glory you must use to develop that relationship.
Yeah, only true believers can tell you which coconut the dime is under. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, never mind the fact that maybe the x-ray machine screwed up.
Yeah. Yeah, or the X-ray was read in India by someone who is half qualified. Do you know they do that now?
Oh yeah, they farm the radiology out.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's almost instantly they can read these things. Like, but it gets over, you know, however you scan one of those things to India, and it gets read, and they can get it back the results in minutes. Not necessarily read by your doctor; it's read by Abdul. Not that there's anything wrong with Abdul.
No.
Maybe Abdul would...
But if Abdul screws up, I want to be able to sue Abdul.
Exactly. Oh, this stuff is a shame.
But there really is, Peter, there are layers. This is a really foul onion. And don't think for a minute that of the phalanxes and armies of bean counters and functionaries and lawyers and lobbyists that exist inside the insurance industry aren't sitting there waiting to co-opt this fundamentalist crowd to make sure that we don't have adequate health care in this country.
Well, that's a damn shame. I can certainly believe it. And they're also carrying this over to mental health and personal relationships. For instance, someone trapped in a very bad abusive marriage, alcoholism, abuse, et cetera, et cetera.
All you got to do is rebuke it.
Right, right. You're gay. You don't claim that. That's the demon. That's the spirit of divorce. No, you don't have that in your life. You know, we don't have divorce here. You know.
Run off and get you a covenant marriage.
Right.
So, well, that's like that line in the Alabama legislation from last night that says the Constitution is a function is based on the biblical covenant style. You know, what a load of garbage.
Well, I agree with you, but I fully believe in the separation of church and state, and I say to them, if they want to believe that in the privacy of their own churches, do it. But for God's sake, leave the educated people alone and stop this fundamentalist stuff. And I said it before on your show, you know, I would never say, you know, I'm so proud, I'm still in fundamental reading. I'm 45 years old.
I'll go you one further. It's not the educated folks that I'm afraid of them getting to. It's the children. Because that's what these stupid, stupid pieces of legislation are about, Peter. It's about getting the children. And if you ever hang around little ones very long, you'll know that they are some very pragmatic people.
Jesus camp.
Yeah.
Have a see it, get it.
Yeah, get it, exactly, and get to, you know, you get to the children and start telling them that magic is real and, you know, you don't get sick because of maybe, you know, toxic exposure to chemicals. Instead, you get sick because of demons. You get that into a kid's head, it's mighty, mighty hard to get it out of an adult's.
Well, I'm sort of like Mommy Dearest. I mean, I'm not mad at Jesus, I'm mad at the dirt. And the dirt is these people in the church.
Only you. Not mad at Jesus. I'm mad at the dirt.
Just live different. I grew up in a gay bar. I learned lots of stuff. But I tell you, you know, it's no sense railing against Jesus. I mean, he's a historical figure. He's going to be here forever. But these bastards are just perverting every word he ever said. And it's great for you're right about the insurance companies. They're co-opting into that.
Sure.
Or maybe even starting it.
This stuff doesn't happen by accident, Peter.
No, it doesn't. And don't make me get on the IRD or whoever they are.
Oh.
You know how I love to go off on that thing.
Oh, yeah, I know. But, no, this is a good lead. I don't know. Maybe if more people observed Easter, and that's what I was talking about at the beginning of the program, by trying to remember the thousands upon thousands of people who died that horrid death, not just one.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe that's what makes Easter meaningful.
And your point was well made. Your point was well made. And I got a phone call during your show tonight from a friend of mine in Austin. And, of course, Austin is a huge city, and they have big gay clubs in it.
Sure.
You know, it's not that gay folks despise, you know, there are lots of gay folk who are spiritual people that attend churches. Hell, half of them have positions in the church. But one of them, they kind of like to do little takeoffs on the whole Easter outfit bit. I mean, we just can't resist. So this club is having a huge Easter high heel competition.
Oh, no.
Yes, I would love to see it. And I've been to, like, Easter bonnet competitions at gay bars. It's fabulous. I mean, you got these big Carmen Miranda fruit hats.
Oh, God.
Oh, I just would love to see how they decorate those shoes.
Oh, Lord.
But, you know, you got
eggs, ribbons, bows.
Yeah, you got to laugh.
As long as they're tasteful.
Yeah, as long as they're
tasteful. Now, there ain't going to be nothing tasteful about it, is there?
Well,
it's going to be a little over the top.
Probably not. Probably.
So, are you all set for sunrise service Sunday? I mean, have you at least got the logistics worked out?
I did kind of work it out so that I don't have to have the sound system set back up in the church by 11 a.m. for the... I talked to him and I said, look, you're really just going to have to sing with the P-Nanner. I just can't set up a music track for you.
You can't have the six-piece rock and roll band this morning.
The cow patties off the bottom of the sound system from the field. And because we're doing it in the field, I know we're going to hit a cow patty somewhere. And
The preacher away from the mushrooms, would you?
Yeah. So, it's kind of set. Easter will be a long day, but
Step one: wake Peter up at 2 a.m.
Yeah, it's a dual thing. It's actually the Methodist and the Baptist together. We do it alternately. One year the Methodists do the sermon in the pasture, and the Baptists serve breakfast at their church, and then we reverse it the next year with the Methodist.
Don't let the Sunnis and the Shia hear about it. They're liable to work out their differences.
I know. So we always like it when we don't have to hear the Baptist guy go on. This is the Methodist version, so we don't have to hear the little Baptist guy go on about all that stuff. So,
Well, happy Easter to you, Peter.
Thank you. And I'm just crushed. I'm not going to get to do the high heel contest, but that's all right.
No, another year.
Maybe I can get pictures.
You get pictures. We'll put them on the website.
Okay.
See you.
Love you, dude. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
That's it. Thanks, everybody. It was a wonderful time this evening. Brian Reznor announced Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org maintains the streams, the archives, and the podcasts of the programs on the Horn. He's got a fundraiser going on. It's time you did the right thing if you haven't already. Many thanks to our moderators in the chat room. Many thanks to our news ninjas on the blog at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. And always, 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 RMR. It's all for you. You're listening to The Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
You're listening to the Venture 3 Radio Network.
Gonzalez in trouble as tide turns against Team Texas. Panel OK subpoenas an attorney probe. For wary conservatives, all eyes on Bush. Deal reached on UN sanctions versus Iran. president rejects health care proposal. Giuliani will miss firefighters' events. Giuliani law firm lobbies in Texas for Chavez-controlled Citgo. The new Dean political plan. Gingrich says it's too early to campaign for 2008. Web censorship spreading globally. Chertoff warns of web of terrorism. McCain draws heat from Vet Group and Club for Growth. World may get greener, then wilt, due to warming. Israel not enthusiastic about strike on Iran, says Olmert. And Al-Qaeda number three says he's planned 9/11 and a hell of a lot of other things. Oh, we're going to rip into this one, folks. These are the issues ahead on the Jeff Allen Wolf Show, starting now.